bless each one. One more, of course, brother. Praise God. The Lord bless you. And those that's visiting, may the Lord bless you. Good to see each one this morning. Praise God. And I'm definitely not going to complain about the weather. I know people's complaining, but I like the sun. I hate the rain. I know we need rain. You know, I was thinking the other day, how many weeks have we had the sunshine for? Just a few weeks. And the fields is burning, and there's a water bond coming, there's a hose pipe bond already. Now you think of that, and then think of this. What about when Elijah prayed, and there was no rain for 3.5 years? Not 3.5 weeks, 3.5 years. And he said, go and tell the king there'll be no more rain till I call for it. That's what he said. Think of that now. And it wouldn't matter who else asked for it, it never came till Elijah asked for it. And you know, when he asked for it, he sent Gehazi up and he said, do you see anything? He said, just a small cloud like a man's hand. And the rain was on its way. Praise God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. We're going to sing When His Wounded Hand Touched Mine. You know that's my favourite song. I heard a new song this week. There's a fella called Carl Robertson. He sounds like Elvis Presley. I thought it was Elvis. Maybe he did sing it as well. But I don't think it's reading. It's not Elvis singing it, but people think it is. But it's a man called Carl Roberts. And when I heard his voice, I knew it wasn't Elvis, but I knew the man's voice. Because our Philip years ago bought a blue Ford Escort car. And there's a big fella called Ian Chambers gave us a gospel tape in the car. And the man was singing on it. And that's who the man was, Carl Robertson. And he's a gospel singer. And he wrote that song, Two Pair of Hands. You've never heard it, go on YouTube and listen to it. One pair of hands. How many's ever heard that? It's a beautiful song all about God making the sand and the heavens and everything. And you put one pair of hands in, Elvis will come up. Everybody thinks it's Elvis singing, but it's Carl Robertson. I thought it was Elvis. Then I said to the wife, that's not Elvis. And those that know Elvis's voice, it was close. It was 8 out of 10, wasn't it? But it wasn't him. I praise God. Let's sing this before we turn to God's word. When His Wounded Hands Touched Mine, Jesus set me free for all eternity. Praise God.
His wounded hands touched mine. His wounded hands touched mine. Jesus set me free for all eternity. When His wounded hands touched mine.
This morning, praise God. Our Father and our eternal God, we do bow before Thee this morning in the lovely and the matchless name of Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we've come to give You all the praise and we've come to give You all the glory. We've come to say that there is no name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we've come to uplift your name. And you promised, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Father, as we come this morning, through the name of Jesus Christ, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We believe in the potency of the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kisseth. Sanctify us, and we praise thy name. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, we pray. Brood over thy people this morning as a hen broodeth over her little ones, we pray in Jesus' name. Father, will you meet every need? Will you touch every heart? Will you save every lost soul and touch those that need thy touch today? In Jesus' precious name. Pray for Mrs. Mahoot this morning. Lord, from the crown of her head to the very soles of her feet, may she know God's mercy and the touch of Almighty God. In Jesus' name. Touch your brother Idris. Give him strength. Grant him your grace at this time, and move on the whole family, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Father, for all that's near and dear to us outside of the camp, Lord, will you bring them in? Every son and every daughter, we plead the precious blood of the Lamb over them this day. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless thy word this day. And I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Forgive me, but God bless each one. She can't never beside you. And say the Lord bless you. Praise God. Praise God. God bless each one. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, our service. And I'll be here for tonight, and then I'm gone after that for a week. Going over to England. Probably this time next week or next Sunday evening, I'll be preaching in Pickering, the Lord willing. But you pray for us, and the elders will be preaching here Sunday morning and evening as normal. Then there'll be no midweek service. Let us turn to the book of Ephesians. And we want to just read one verse. The English can be seated. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own word. You may be seated and praise God. I want to take for the text this morning, alienated from the life of God. And I want to take first of all what's meant by this phrase, the life of God. And we know that Jesus Christ was the perfect exhibition and the perfect example of this life of God. Jesus says, in me dwelleth eternal life, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ displayed the life of God. He was the life of God on display. You know, the Bible says that everywhere Jesus went, he did good. Everywhere he went. Says in another place, no man spake like this man. Says in another place, of all was written what he done. Not even all the books in the world could do what Jesus done. I just read the other day that no man did the miracles or had seen the miracles done before what Jesus did, for he even opened the blinded eyes. That's what our Lord Jesus did. So this life of God is seen in his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. In him this life was manifested. And here's a few things I want to share with you what was manifested. Firstly, holiness. Jesus displayed holiness. There's nowhere, no other man can be compared to the Lord. No religious man, no priest, no Pharisee, no scribe, no pope or potentate, no one can be compared or prophet in this world to Jesus because of his holiness. He's the only man that the words of God say, he hath no sin. And he have done no sin. This is the only man. All others have sinned, but this man
Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the express image of the Father, Jesus Christ was. And the first thing I want you to see about this life of God is holiness. That's something the world doesn't want today, isn't it? They don't want holiness. Then this other thing is self-sacrifice. And Jesus had self-sacrifice. He pleased not himself. He loved us and gave himself for us. Matthew 17 verse 5. Matthew 17 verse 5 says this. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You don't have to hear anyone else. You need to hear the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus has words of eternal life. The Bible says, My words are spirit, and they are life. When you hear the words of Jesus, there's life in them. Not just life for a day, but eternal life. Everlasting life. When this life finishes, the life of God. So He pleased the Father. That's something we don't see today. He never done His own will. He done the Father's will. And even when He came to Gethsemane, He said, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. He did the Father's will. He did all pleasing to the Father. Here's another thing about Him. Inward joy and peace. That's what He had. Jesus had inward joy and He had peace. And He wants to give you an inward joy and He wants to give you peace. And the Bible says the peace of God passeth all understanding. When you get the peace of God, I tell you something about it. He could say, My peace I give unto you. That's what Jesus could say. My peace I give unto you, that my joy may remain in you. So the Lord wants to give you peace, and He wants His joy to remain within you. Not just for a week or a day, for a month. The Lord wants His joy to remain within you. The joy of the Lord. The path of all understanding. You know, one of the greatest examples of an evangelist has to be Philip. And the Bible says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached his denomination. You don't read that. You read he preached Christ. That was his message. It's not the only message. Christ. He preached Christ unto them, and unclean spirits came out, crying out with loud voices. And then you know what you read after all that happened. There was great joy in that city. Who rejoices the most? You see the fellow that's a big sinner and he gets saved. That fellow's happy. Because he's glad he's saved. He's glad he's saved. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're saved? My joy may remain in you. The life of God is a life in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony. With joy. A perfect harmony and a perfect environment. That's what the life of God gives you. This is all the life of Jesus we're talking about here. Now here's another thing about it. What this life gives. Power and victory. This life of Jesus gives you power and victory. Power over all His enemies. And victory over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is the only one that could conquer death, hell, and the grave, and He conquered it. He defeated His enemy, Satan, on the cross. The seed of the woman that spoke about in Genesis chapter 3, and it says that thy seed shall bruise its head, bruise its heel and trample on its head. You know the scripture in Genesis? The seed of the woman, that was Christ. That was foretelling thousands of years ever before He comes that He would bruise the head of the serpent on the cross. In other words, He put His foot on him at the cross. And He bruised him. And when you're wounded in the head, you're going to die. And the devil is a wounded animal. That's why the Bible says he goes about roaring like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Christ defeated him on the cross. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And death couldn't hold him. Now what is meant by alienated from this life? What's this meant? And I'm really taking this from this one scripture from Ephesians 4 and 18. What's this meant? Be alienated from the life. First thought is no likeness to God. That's the first thing I want you to see. There's no likeness to God. So all these other things I've told you about that Jesus had, people will never have that are alienated from the life of Christ. They won't have them things. Aren't we living in a world today, for Paul the Apostle says, that they don't even want to retain God in their knowledge or in their thinking? Paul said, man has forsook the natural use of a woman, and he's burned in his own lust one toward another. It's not the day we're living in, where people boast and glorify sin. And if you say one thing against it, they say you're homophobic. And the names invented today that I never heard before, and I'm almost 50. I'll be 50 in a few months. I know I don't look like it, thanks, but anyhow, I am almost 50. I feel 20, but I'm almost 50. Praise God. That's the blessing of God. There's a fella telling me, seen a wee woman the other day, she's 109 years of age. Said she didn't look a day, but she looked great. I tell you, you shouldn't be surprised to nobody. They used to live, how long did Methuselah live? 900 and something years, wasn't it? And you know the oldest man that ever lived died before his father did. For Enoch never died, for the Lord took him. And his father was the oldest man that ever lived. My Uncle John told me that when I was a wee fella. He said to me, go you and ask your RE teacher that question. But the oldest man that ever lived died before his father did, and the RE teacher couldn't answer it. And I left it with him for a few weeks. Wasn't it a good one? But you see, the Lord's blessing. But you see, whether, regardless of what age we are in this physical body, there's no death for the real Christian. Because Paul says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. What is meant for this alienated, this life? No likeness to God. No kinship of the nature. Separated by sin. And living at enmity with God. Romans 8 and verse 7 tells us. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So before a man's born again, before he's regenerated by the Spirit of Almighty God, he can't know God. It takes the Spirit of Almighty God to move in you and to move in me and do something within us so that we can know God. We have to be enlightened. And there's only one thing can enlighten a man or a woman. That's the Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. There's not two lights, there's one. And that one light's Jesus Christ. So we see, first of all, no likeness to God. Here's another thought. No fellowship with God. And you ever notice any of these programs and they have a Christian on it and they try to mock them and belittle them and all the rest of it and get them down as low as they can get them, don't they? Make little of the Christian faith. But you see, because of no fellowship with God. The unsaved man's no fellowship from God. He's alienated. He's a stranger to the covenants of God, far away, living, but really a dead man walking. As soon as Adam sinned, he fell out of communion with God. Those in fellowship with the powers of darkness cannot walk in this light. Acts 26:18 tells us. And I'll give you a moment just till you find it. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So Satan has power. But I want to tell you that God's power is greater. Even though the devil has power, God's power is greater. Some people preach so much about how great the devil is and they make God a real wee small fella. Well, the God I serve is not no wee small fella. I'll tell you for a moment about the God I serve. The God I serve so big that the heavens has put the clouds in, the clouds are but the dust of his feet. That's how big he is. God is so big the heavens of heavens can't even contain God. You say, when did he start? He didn't. Because God had no beginning and he has no ending. He's a self-existent one.
That's God. Almighty God. And he made the devil. So he's before the devil. And you remember when you take from your word of God and you take the law of the first mention and all them different signs and things that are true, you know that anything that has a beginning has an ending. And the devil had a time when he began, and he's going to have a time when he will end. But God has no beginning and no ending. He is a self-existing one. Almighty God. Greater than the enemy. Here's another thought. They have no hope in God. And of course they don't think they need hope in God. Sure they don't. They have no hope in God. They're hoping in good living. They're hoping in church membership. They're hoping in religious societies. They're hoping in all the different things, but they've no hope in God. But without God, we are without hope.
Yes, I know.
We need God to have hope. No hope. Where there is no faith in Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And those without this hope are without God in the world. Ephesians 2 and 12. And Ephesians 2 and 12 tells us that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I heard a great preacher many years ago, it was only a wee fella, and he took this very text and he preached one of the best gospel sermons I've ever heard ever. And I've heard a lot of preaching, but this man, big fella, you know who he was, I'm sure, big fella from Ulster here, big loud voice, and he preached one of the best gospel sermons I've ever heard, and he preached from this verse: without Christ, having no hope. And he named five things, and he said the soul without Christ is a hopeless soul. It's a homeless soul. It's a friendless soul. And all down the list he went, and he preached for an hour. 1 hour. And it was just like 5 minutes. And when he finished preaching, there was 15 people got saved. And it wasn't a big church, but 15 got saved. I tell you, God honors his own word, doesn't he? But I'll tell you, it's so true. Without God in this world, having no hope. No hope without God. And I tell you, men and women today without God are helpless and hopeless. And they're on their way to a lost eternity without God and a son. Here's another thought. No fitness for God. You hear a lot today about fitness, don't you? Gyms today have become like churches. It's went over the top. Now I believe in fitness, but it's went to the real new extreme. And people today are doing fitness, and I read a survey one time. I read this survey about the fellow that comes home from his work and lies on the couch. You know, they talk about the couch potato. The fella comes home from his work, he lies on the couch like a couch potato. And then the other fella, the gym rat, he goes to the gym. You know, I go to the gym a lot now myself. I believe in keeping fit. But I enjoy it. But you don't have to do it. But I'm going to tell you this, what I read, and this is meant to be true. But this other survey was done, the fella goes to the gym, the other boy doesn't go to the gym. And how much of an advantage give them on the whole life expectancy? Much would you think? And much longer do you think the fella that went to the gym was that they studied and all the rest of it lived longer than the fella never went? They've reckoned about 3 to 6 months. So for all his hard work, see, that's scriptural, isn't it? The Bible says no man can add to stature one cubic particular thought. Now it's good to look good and it's good to exercise and all them things, but that's still not it. That won't give you eternal life. It'll keep you, you'll feel good, but it won't add to you. It'll never take you to heaven. There's only one life that you need. That's the life of Jesus Christ. His life in you. Born again of his spirit. And when his life's in you, you have real life. Life, everlasting life. Because his life's in you. No fitness for God. The carnal mind can't please God. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's the word of God. Except a man be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3,
can never see the kingdom of God and he's not born again. Now I want you to see the cause of this alienation. And this cause is threefold. You can write these thoughts down if you want. I preached this sermon before, do you know, many years ago. I surprised myself. I knew I'd preached it before as I was studying and preparing. I was waiting on the Lord and trying to get some thoughts in the message. Never hanging out. Thought to myself, I've preached on that text before. I preached on it in 2007 and I preached on it again in 2010. And I was reading about this fella, and this fella, you know, he was studying, he was a preacher, and he says, God, I want it all fresh and something that you're going to give me straight and direct. And he thought he had found that, and then as he got a sermon prepared, he found notes of another man that preached it before him. And you know that the Bible said there's no new thing under the sun. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And wouldn't matter what scripture you take, the Lord's covered it all, hasn't he?
Amen.
Amen. But it's good to study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a minister that rightly divideth the Word of God. Now I believe God can give a man a word. I believe that. And it's a real blessing. Listen to this. This threefold blindness. First one's ignorance. First thing about it's ignorance. Aren't we living in a world today of ignorance? Of no respect for God or Christianity or any of them things. Alienated through the ignorance that is in them. This is the willful ignorance, for Jesus said, if ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. Ye will not come to me. That's what Jesus says. You won't come to me. And they said, aye, but we've got Moses. And we've got the law. And he said, before Moses was, I am. I am long before Moses. And Jesus was long before Moses. And they said to Jesus, you're not yet 50. And you're saying that you're before Moses. But he pre-existed. How many knows Jesus pre-existed? Because he was in the bosom of the Father. From the foundation of the world. I want you to see this threefold alienation. The other thought is blindness. So the first one's ignorance. The second one's blindness. And the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The God of this world. And who knows who the God of this world is? Satan. And he's not mentioned in the Bible as the God of any other age but this age. Did you know that? And Satan's mentioned in the Word of God as the God of this evil age. Now he's not the real God. He's an imitation God. See, God can mean an object of worship. And he wants the worship. For he says, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend into the sides of the north. I'll be like God. In other words, I'm going to take over. That's his ambition. And you know he's never give up on that ambition. He thinks he's a Superman. But he's not my Superman. Jesus Christ is my Superman. For he conquered him. Because of the blindness of their heart, those who prefer the darkness to the light will surely be smitten with heart blindness. Spiritual ignorance is the most unfavorable condition to a deceitful heart. You know that. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God can. Me and you could be talking to somebody and you think they're great, and they might not be. But God knows everybody. Here's another condition, darkness. Darkness. You say blindness and then you're saying darkness. Yes. You know the Bible spoke of Egypt of a gross darkness that could be felt. Now there's darkness. Then the Bible speaks of a darkness so dark that you can feel it. That's what it was like in Egypt. Darkness covered Egypt and only those that was under the tuck and the blood of the Lamb were seeing. And there was a darkness could be felt. And some people are in darkness. And they're in gross darkness. And is it sad to say today that this is an age which is in darkness? And after 2,000 years of gospel preaching, faithful ministries and missionaries, the world's condition's worse than it's ever been. And you know, we're living in the days like Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living in them now. And everybody knows that's the truth. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man's revealed. And you know about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know about the days of Lot. And we're living in them days again. And we have the new names now. Homosexuality is not the newest name no more. Binary is another new one. And they say that they're born with this condition and they can do nothing about it. That's like a man that shoots somebody saying, I could do nothing about it. I'll tell you the condition every one of us is born with. Sin. We're all born with a sinful nature. We're all born with a sinful condition. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ forgives sinners. Even the homosexuals. Even the binary. God can deliver them. I believe that. God can deliver any man or any woman. He says all manner of sins shall be forgiven. Except the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Said it will neither be forgiven in this world or the world to come. And you know when you reject Christ's message, there's a time comes when people hear the gospel and the Lord stops speaking. And they cross that line. The old preachers used to preach about it. Nicholson and Big Ian Paisley and some of the old great men, Willie Mullen, and a lot of those fellows used to preach about it. They called it the message, the unpardonable sin. When you've heard it for the last time, God might never speak again. You say, but I'll be all right if I wait till next week. You don't know that. That's all in God's hands. The Lord calleth once, yet twice, and yet man heareth not. Darkness. These are fettered with the God of this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world have blinded their minds, of them that believe not. Lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, which the image of God, should shine unto them. And Satan wants to blind people's minds, lest the glorious gospel, this is not just any gospel, this is a glorious gospel. Didn't Paul the Apostle say that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save man? And he said the gospel is foolishness, it's foolishness to them that are lost, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And I thank God for God's salvation. I want you to see someone else with this. There's a cure for this alienization, and I'm coming down to my last thoughts. The clock's gone, but we're all right. I won't keep you as long. I want you to see all these things. Are you seeing them? Are you seeing the ignorance, the blindness, the darkness? And then you saw at the start all about this light. Now I'm going to show you the cure. There's a cure for it. I'll tell you the cure for it's not in the pub. People that you know, some people go down to the pub because they want fellowship. You know that. It's not just to get drunk, you know. See, God in the beginning, there was an attribute in God for a family. Amen. That was in God in the beginning. God had a desire he was going to have a family, and he did have. But you see, in man, there's something in man that wants fellowship. But it's the wrong kind of fellowship. We need the right kind of fellowship. But I want you to come with me now and we'll see this cure. We may instantly escape from this awful condition by confession. So the first part of this cure is confession. Now this confession is not to the priest round the corner. For he's a bigger sinner than most of the sinners. It's repenting to them. For the Bible says that the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. And any man that lifts up a wafer and says, this is not a physical literal body of Jesus Christ, that man's blinded. And he lifts his wafer up, he says, he performs the act of transubstantiation. That's what it's called. And he says that the Pope of Rome has invested in him, the priest, the power to turn a wafer into the literal physical body, blood and bone of Jesus Christ. Then he makes a statement that throws it right off. once for all. Jesus Christ can never ever be offered again. I don't care if the holiest man in the world with halos floating over his head says he's offering it, he's a liar. It's another gospel. And Paul says, if anyone comes preaching another gospel, even an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. We have one true gospel, and it will do us. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christ can never be offered again. This confession must be made. And we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, because God's Lamb has been slain. John 1 verse 12, look what it says. John 1 verse 29, sorry. The next day John saith Jesus coming. And you know what he said? Behold the Lamb of God. And the word behold means look up, pay attention. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John pointed us to God's take her away of sin. And I believe John's message. Jesus Christ is the taker away of sin. So we're pointed to the Lamb of God. And if we confess to the Lamb of God our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So the first step to come out of this darkness, to come out of this alienation, is confession to the Lamb of God. Not to no man. I don't even care if he's a minister. A minister had a time when he got saved as well. And see if he's not saved. He's a hypocrite, not a minister. He's fake. For every servant of God shall be saved. He's a propitiation for our sins. The first epistle of John. Chapter 2 and verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Some people believe in a partial atonement. Some people believe, you know, that his blood is limited. I want you to know this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ could save 1,000 worlds if it had them. Now, don't believe in 1,000 worlds. This one's enough, isn't it? But Christ's blood can save every one that comes. For my Bible says, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will may come. There's a great wee brethren woman, and she's quite an age now, you know. And I think an awful lot of her. I haven't got to see her in a long time. But you know, when I first got saved, she stood me in her hallway. She used to ask me the same question every day. She used to say to me, Tommy, how do you know you're saved? And I had to think about it. And then she would tell me. She would say, you're not saved because you feel saved. You might feel saved. The more you might feel lost. She says, that's not why you're saved. You are saved because the word of God says in Romans 10 and 9 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what Romans 10 and 9 said? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. She says, that's why you're saved. Now she says, come outside. And she took me outside and we look up at the door and it said on the outside of the door, whosoever will may come. Now she says, come inside. And then she said, turn around and look at the door again. And I would turn around on the inside and look at the door again. And you know what it said on the inside? Elect. Chosen in him from the foundation of the world. She says, when you're out there, it's whosoever. When you're in here, he knew you, and he foreordained you, and he chose you from the foundations of the world. But she says, when you're out there, it's to whosoever. It's not how it is. And a big preacher used to say, God of all the elections filled up, elect some more. That's what he said. I agree with him. God of all the elections, come, elect some more.
And God, being sovereign, is able to do that.
That's why he said it. I believe that with all my heart. Do you? I think it's wonderful. Don't you want God to elect some more? I thank God he's able to save. Here's another thing, reception. So first of all, there has to be a confession, and then there has to be a reception. As many as receive him, John 1 verse 12, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. So there has to be a repentance and then a reception. Confess, then a reception. Look at John 1 verse 12. And I'm cheating because I have all the scriptures wrote down this morning. But isn't it good? For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive power. Didn't you ever hear people saying, I couldn't keep it? No, but he'll keep you. He'll keep you. I first trusted the Lord in 1984. And in 1984, we had a heat wave like this. For I used to work for a farmer, and he fed his dairy herd that year on barley straw with treacle over them. And most of the farmers, their tanks were drying up with no milk. And it'll happen again if they don't feed them. But he had milk. And they couldn't understand how this fellow had milk. But he had milk. Now it was real good barley straw. There's barley straw then, there is barley straw. You farmers know that's the truth. Isn't it? It's not true. There's real good barley straw. How many of you fellas has ever, you ever see them boys in the breed, the bulls for beef? What do they feed them? Barley straw. Don't feed them hay. I know a wee bit about it. Yes, I worked a wee bit at the farm when I was a wee lad. Milked a cow or two. But he fed them. It was a real heat wave that year. And that's the first time I really accepted Christ as my Savior. Maybe did before, not understand, but that was the time when I had a real experience with the Lord. 1984, a long time ago, isn't it? I could take you to the very spot in front of a yellow Mercedes car. That's why I have a bit of a thing about Mercedes. Yellow Mercedes car, 2 miles outside of Tremor in a lay-by. After a gospel mission, and the man that preached the mission thought he had no success. Nobody got saved. Only me. But I thank God I got saved. And you know, I've been to different places preaching all over the world. And I've seen people saved by God's grace. And I'm not finished yet either. I could be on the move any time, like the wind. So reception. Then here's another word. Submission. So there has to be a confession, there has to be a reception, and there has to be a submission. And God doesn't want a half-hearted submission. He wants a full submission. Do you ever see that wrestler years ago? I remember when I was a wee fella. Never forget it. Some of these boys in here used to watch it. Big Daddy and Jan Hashtag. Who remembers that? And you know Big Daddy and Jan Hashtag. And Big Daddy always beat him, didn't he? Big belly. Boy, he had some belly. And my dad used to say, that's the power belly. And he'd hit him with a belly. And Jack Hashtag, all 6'6" of him or whatever he was, he went flying. And then Big Daddy would have got him down, twisted his arm up, and there was a groaning and moaning, and he submitted. And wrestling's all about getting your opponent down, and wrestling's all about the submission. 3 taps and you're out. Well, God wants us to fully submit our lives. Not some half-hearted confession. But God wants a real confession of sin. A real commitment and a real repentance. We return from the flesh and the world and the devil and turn from the pub and the smoking and the drinking and all the things that's wrong. We come from it and we repent. We do a full circle. And we completely surrender completely, fully to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're not just a Christian for a week. Some people make more comebacks than Frank Sinatra. God doesn't want comeback Christians. He wants all that put their hand to the plow and don't turn back. The Bible says if we turn back, we're not worthy to enter. God wants men and women committed today. You know, real commitment today. Choose that. In 1 week and out the next week. But God wants submission. Will we submit our will to His? You ever get down on your knees and say, Lord, I don't want to do it, but whatever you want. You ever prayed like that? I had a whole lot of ideas, you know, when I started preaching, where I would go and what I would do, but it never happened that way. God had different plans.
And I'll tell you, I thank God for His way. For His ways is higher than our ways. Hallelujah. Submission. To abide in His fellowship, there must be a continual surrender of the will to God. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. John 15:3. John 15:3 is a wonderful scripture, isn't it? Well, we continually abide. Sorry, 15 and verse 10. John 15 and verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye will abide in my love, even as my Father commandments, and abide in His love. I tell you, we want to abide in God's love, don't we? Isn't it great to be loved? You know, you fellas that's married, you have to tell her now and again that you love her. Now, words is not always the best way. How many knows what I'm talking about? I know my wife and I were married near 23 years. I mightn't tell her that often. You know, she tells me all the time, I love you. Maybe I don't tell her. But what I'll do sometimes is, I know sort of sometimes when she wants me to tell her. I just know, because I know her. And she won't say to me, but I just know it. And I'll come home and say nothing, and I'll say, oh, there's someone in the car I forgot to bring out, will you go and get me it? It'll be a big bunch of flowers. And that says it all, doesn't it? She's smiling anyhow. I got her red roses the other day. I was working at the roses. And I slipped a few of them. My money's ever slipped flowers. You ever hear slipping roses? And growing them. And I brought a few red roses home. But you see, don't we like to know we're loved? I want to tell you, well, this year, and I'm not proud of it, but I backslid. And I backslid badly. And I ended up in jail. And I'll never forget it. It was 1989. And while I was in High Bank jail, I was suicidal. And the devil kept drumming into me, nobody loves you, where's your mates now? And they were nowhere. Not one of them come the same at once. My so-called mates. Never come near me. I thank God my dad came. And I don't even know why he came, for I was a rascal. But he came anyhow. But I want you to know that God spoke to me. And God said to me, I love you. And I gave myself for you. And I tell you, that broke the chains. And the fetters fell off. And I fell out of a bed in High Bank jail onto my knees. And I wept to the Lord. And I cried unto God. And asked the Lord to forgive me. And I thank the Lord for saving me. I never said, Lord, save me again. I'd already asked Him in 1984. I knew I was saved. I don't believe in saved and lost. I believe you're saved once, you're always saved. You might backslide, but you're still saved. David said, restore unto me, Lord, the joy of Thy great salvation. God wants submission. Here's my last thought. Submission. And I'm closing this morning on that thought that God wants submission. He wants us to submit to Him. Totally submit. Surrender. Give your will up to the Lord's will. I want to challenge you as Christians in this room this morning. I'm going to give you a challenge. No, it's nothing about tonight or next week or nothing. It's for right now. Are you walking in God's will? Are you in God's will? Are you doing the things in your life that you think God wants you doing? Are you sitting here this morning and a call of God on you and ignoring it? Are you in God's will? I tell you, God wants us to submit. Totally surrender to Him. I would tell the Lord this morning, if you're not saved, you're in darkness. I'm going to tell you, you're in darkness. You're this person that I've been preaching about. If you're not saved, you're an alien. You're in darkness away from God. And you need to take this remedy this morning. And this remedy is to confess. And come to the Lord Jesus Christ in full submission.
Christ. Let's come and bow our heads. I'm not going to ask nobody to raise a hand or nothing. But I want you in your own heart, for you are to pray. And if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're safe, but you know you're not where you should be, I want you to submit yourself afresh to God. Submit your life afresh to Him and say, Lord, I'm tired of my own ways. I want your ways. I want to be in your will. The center of your will. Not my will be done, but thine. Every day I pray. And I trust the Lord will help me to pray it all my days. I pray and I say, Lord, I commit myself to you. I want you to make me what you want me to be, not somebody else wants me to be. That would be no use. I want God to make me what He wants me to be. You submit yourself to the Lord this morning. And if you're here and you need a touch in your body, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can touch you. You just ask the Lord if you're sitting. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this morning for the glorious light of the gospel. Lord, we do submit our lives afresh to you. And we ask that you indeed will lead us and you indeed will guide us by the lovely Holy Spirit. Pray you'll touch lives this morning. Pray you'll touch hearts. Pray you'll deal with men and women in this room. Lord, for all that's near and dear in our hearts, you know every one of them. Lord, as the old man said, if the elect's elected, Lord, will you elect some more? Lord, we're just trying to ask you, will you save souls? Will you deliver men and women, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, friends that's near and dear to our hearts, will you save them? And get a hold of them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless your own people this morning that's listened faithfully to your word. Bless your word to our hearts. As we come to worship this morning, help us to give you all the praise and all the glory for saving our souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As a brother comes, God bless each and every one of you. We're here again tonight, 6 o'clock, in the gospel service. You say, brother, we've had a gospel service this morning, and we should have. We need one all the time, don't we? Aren't you glad for the power of the gospel? The Lord bless each one of you.
Let's have a thing to level before us, Lord. You are so precious to me.